Welcome to another episode of Walleye Chronicles, where we bring you guys in here or on the phone and figure out what made you the person you are through fishing. Today, we have a very special guest. We have Mitchell Ben Dixon today with us. Mitch, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Wonderful. So, you're a fisherman.
Yes, sir.
So, tell me about your earliest memories fishing.
I'd have to say my earliest memories are, we had a cabin growing up, Lake Nokomis and Tomahawk. And so earliest memories is probably fishing off the dock with grandma and grandpa or my dad for bluegills and perch.
Bluegills and perch. So what's your first fish you remember catching? Like a vivid memory of catching?
Probably a perch, I would say. Small perch, not big, but small perch off the dock.
So what about that first time fishing that kind of makes you want to always kind of go back and fish more and more and more?
I don't know. It's weird because my dad fished, but he wasn't big into it. And I started and just couldn't get enough of it. And so I don't know if it was the peace and quiet or just the thrill of catching things that made me want to go back.
It wasn't because you quickly became a better fisherman than your dad, wasn't
it? It might have been that.
So a little background. I know Mitch, and I knew Mitch and his father, and Mitch is, unfortunately, Chris, Mitch is a better fisherman than you, and has been that way for a little bit. But yeah, Chris doesn't really fish a lot, but you kind of are crazy. You're over the top. You're, how many days a week do you fish?
Five, I'd say.
And you do everything? You musky fish, you basic fish for whatever you can find.
Yeah.
What is your main fish you want to catch? What you're going for?
I'd say muskies now. But walleye's close second. It depends on really the time of year.
Okay. So what was the first bait, the first lure you bought?
Say a jointed Rapala.
Jointed Rapala. What was the target species for that? What were you hoping to catch when you bought that? I'm buying this for this fish.
There was really no target species. I thought the bait looked cool. And so I bought it because it looked cool. And I was like, I hope I catch a big fish with this.
What color combination?
It was the pike pattern.
Okay. That's cool. Growing up, how was fishing, you and Chris fishing together? Were you guys like, you know, adversary? How'd that kind of go?
It really depended if we were catching fish or not. Because if we were catching fish, we got along great. But as soon as we weren't, the bickering started and we started yelling at each other. And then once somebody said something that worked for fish, it just got worse. And so if I, like, for example, ice fishing, you know, my dad, he likes to go and sit by the pack. He's a grouper.
Yep, he's a grouper.
And so if we go and
sit. Nothing wrong with groupers, but.
But if he goes and puts us in the group and we catch a fish, I won't hear the end of it. But if I take us out in the middle of nowhere and we catch fish, I'll let him have it for the rest of the day.
That's the best part of fishing, though, is the grind. It's kind of the you know, getting on whoever you're with, and even being able to do that with your dad is pretty cool. So is there, you remember any big blow-ups that you have ever had? Or anytime you broke something or vice versa?
I think Canada was the worst for like me and my dad, or just me?
You and your dad.
Oh, the worst is putting the live scope on my boat. That was the worst.
What was about the live? Was it the live scope itself?
It was the putting the box in, because he wanted to build a bracket for it, and I just wanted it on the boat instead of screwed into the floorboards, and it just.
And at this time, he had no idea what a live scope was.
No, he had no idea.
You just brought. How old were you at the time?
I would have been 20.
So you brought home a $1,600 piece of equipment?
Yeah.
And wanted to put it in the boat?
Yeah.
And he was confused by all that. Yes. I'm guessing, though, that, you know, a lot of that is, you know, you're bringing sorcery in the boat.
Yeah. Well, that was a big day because we got a new trolling motor on the boat, too. And that one blew his mind enough. And I brought home this piece of alien equipment to him. And
so you've been dragging him into the 21st or 22nd century nonstop?
Yeah.
But he likes it, right? I mean, I think you've had him out live with the live scope. And
yeah, we went last year. I mean, he mainly fishes the river.
Yep.
But last year we went to Canada, and he really got to see the live scope work up there. And that was really cool. Yeah.
It's tough to kind of describe to somebody how live scope works and how it can help you until they actually see it in action. They catch something when they watch their their bait go down and the fish come up and react. And that's cool. So other than any, what about your low times fishing? Do you have a time where it didn't, where you're just by yourself or wherever? What was the first time by yourself fishing like? The first time dad let you take the boat out by yourself?
So the first time I got to take the boat out by myself, I mean, I had friends with me if that counts, but it was me and Tyler Downs.
Okay.
And it was fishing on Crescent Lake in Rylander, Wisconsin. Okay. And so Crescent Lake, Rylander, Wisconsin, and we were just fishing cribs for bluegills and smallmouth. But I remember there was one day I couldn't get the boat started, and because I had it in gear. And I didn't know it was in gear, and so I think I cranked it over for 10-15 minutes and couldn't get it started. And finally, I made
the call.
I didn't make the call. I was about to, and then I finally looked, and I could see it was pressed all the way forward. And
I look at you every time.
I had to wait about 30 minutes for it to.
So what was that like feeling when he gave you that? Did you have to ask him to go, or you know, how did that go?
It was kind of like all winter I was like, hey, I think I'm old enough to take your boat out this year, because I had a rowboat on my grandparents' lake growing up, and finally I was like, I think I'm old enough to take your boat out this year, Dad. Like, let me take the big boat out. And it got to summertime, and he just kind of like handed me the keys, and he's like, don't break it or you don't have a fishing boat for the rest of your life. And I'm like, okay. And so that was kind of that. It was really exciting, but also nervous. I don't think I got the boat up and playing all weekend. I was so terrified, but
butting along. So what it like to have that freedom to do whatever you wanted to do?
It was really cool, because whenever I would fish by myself, I was limited to 200 yards from the cabin because I didn't want to row any farther. And the way our lake on our cabin is there's a big lake and a little lake connected by a little channel. And being able to go over to the big lake and fish that was really cool because it was new territory. And
right. So was there a spot you went to immediately that you've always wanted to go that maybe you guys never went before? They're like, hey, I wish we could do this, but dad was always driving.
Yeah, right away. There's really no rocks in that lake, but there's one pile that sticks out of the water by like a foot. And I went right to that rock pile right away.
Did you catch fish there?
Caught a lot of smallies, yeah.
Did you let him know that when he came back?
No.
Oh.
Because he told me to stay away from the rocks. I went right to the rocks to fish for smallmouth.
I get it. So when you're on the rowboat, what was it like on the rowboat?
It was a lot of fun. I mean, it obviously sucked having to row. And there was a few nights where I got caught downwind and it took me way too long to get back and I got yelled at. But it was a lot of fun and I learned a lot. Definitely about how to fish, because I went out by myself for that majority of the time, and just learning a lot about how to fish in a boat and how to manage stuff.
Right. Yeah. You kind of learn where to put the boat. I mean, obviously rowing is a whole different world too. You're learning how to row. I think that's lost in most people now, but learn how to row is its own skill by itself, and how to position, how to fish out of a boat while you're rowing it is a definitely different world. You have a story of your first muskie you caught that I would like to recount here, detail by detail, because it is quite amazing to me, in the end of this fish. And we'll make sure I get a picture to throw on here for everybody can see it. But so let's get into this muskie.
All right. So I've always wanted to catch muskies. I was like, growing up, I wanted to catch the biggest fish possible. And I saw a muskie one day fishing off the dock. I saw a muskie that was improperly released, and it was dead swimming along. So as soon as I saw how big that fish was, I went and I grabbed it. And I have a picture somewhere of me holding this half-dead, half-muskie.
Did you count that as a catch?
No. At the time, I was in fifth grade. I'm like, I caught a 40-inch muskie with my bare hands this summer and didn't count that. Now I don't. But so that sparked the fire, and a couple years later, I finally bought my first muskie pole as I was driving up north to go muskie fishing for muskie opener, and bought a muskie pole, threw a bass reel on there on the way up north, and started fishing, and it was
so prior to this, you have no muskie experience?
None.
Your dad does not fish muskie?
Nope.
You don't know any of the fish is musky.
Nope. Watched a few YouTube videos.
So you're going all ham, all in.
Yep.
For the first time.
Yep. Okay. I had two baits. I had a bucktail, and I went and bought a used diving rise.
Okay.
And threw that diving rise all weekend, and I saw this fish porpoise Sunday morning, and I could tell it was really big, and I threw at it for like three times and just left because I was like, I'm not going to catch it.
So up to this point, how long have you been fishing?
All of Saturday and so probably so like
8 hours Saturday or
8 hours Saturday and probably like 3 hours on Sunday.
So you got 11 hours into fishing muskies.
Okay. Yeah. Saw
just
this.
Just want to put that down.
Saw this fish porpoise, and I remember reading that if you see a fish porpoise, it won't eat. And so I was like, all right, I'm just going to leave it. I'll come back. Went home actually, ate lunch, came back out. It was like 1 o'clock now, 2 o'clock.
What was the weather?
Beautiful. It was dead calm, 70. And it was, you know, Memorial Day weekend, musky opener. So 70 and flat calm. Was
a lot of people around or no?
No, it was COVID.
Oh.
So the lake was empty. I was the only boat out there. And my second cast after coming back to the spot, I hooked up on him or her. And I'm by myself and just freaking out now because I didn't expect to hook mm-hmm. one. And I have a walleye net. I don't have a big musky net. I have those green basket walleye nets that you buy at Walmart. And after
so you obviously had a moment where you were he hit,
yeah,
and you were excited that it happened. What obviously there was a time where it must have changed over to terror, knowing that you had to find a way to get in the boat.
I think when it hit and I could, you know, that lake is really clear, yep. And so it hit pretty far away from the boat, but I could just see it flashing under the water, and I was just so excited. I thought that was the coolest thing. And then I think once it got within like 10 feet of the boat and I saw how big it was, I started like kind of freaking out and the adrenaline started going and I was hyperventilating and all the above. It was horrible.
So how long did you have it on and was going around did it go around the boat a bunch or did
it? Yeah, it was going around the boat, diving underneath, and I was by myself and I have this net and that's not long. So I have the rod tip in one hand behind my head and the net fully extended with my other arm trying to net it.
Were you all set to go for it to be netted? Like, was the net kind of out or did you gonna have
yeah,
to
it was that it was it out? Was draped over the seat.
Okay.
So it was ready to go, but I was just struggling, and finally it came up to the surface after making three or four good runs and peel and drag, and I got it in the net, and I was just so excited. I dropped my pole and I'm just holding the net there, and the fish curled his back and flipped right out of the net. And so I have a big diving rise tangled in the net and he's doing gator rolls, and I just dropped the net right in the water with the fish and grabbed my pole again. I'm starting to fight this fish with the net hooked on the bait and the bait still in the fish's mouth. Finally I get it back up to the boat again. I grabbed the net in one hand, Gil grabbed it in the other, and or grabbed the gill plate and yanked it in the boat, and I did the worst thing you can do as a musky fisherman. I just threw it in the bottom of the boat.
But at that moment, it was just about getting that fish in the boat.
Yeah. I was so excited to catch that fish, and I wasn't well educated at the time, too. Right. I didn't know that you were supposed to keep muskies in the water.
Right. Oh, we've all been there, I think. We've all been there. When that fish kicks out of the net, and the worst fear for a fisherman is having a hook in a fish and hook in a net. What was going through you? Thought you lost it?
Yeah, I thought I lost it. I started dropping. I mean, I felt bad because there was a family on shore not too far away, right. And I'm just cussing up a storm. And I was freaking out, and I don't know why, but I think that's why I just threw the net in the water, because I called it a lost cause, because it was the fish did a gator roll and the net was tight, it was flat. And I think that's why I just threw it in the water and went back to fighting it.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't have planned that at all. To like, I couldn't have went into it and been like, if a gator rolls in the net, just throw the net in it.
That's good strategy. I don't know if I'm doing that, but that's a good strategy.
I wouldn't do it with my nets now. They're a little too expensive to do it.
So you get in the boat. Obviously, it was hooked well.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is when I threw it on the floor, the hooks popped out.
Oh.
And so in the picture, I have a picture of me holding it and a picture on the floor. And the picture on the floor, you can see the net with the diving rise just tangled in it really bad.
Oh.
Right beside the fish's head.
So did you, so okay. So you fished for 12 hours, your first time ever fishing. You had just bought a pole on your way up, and your first muskie you caught after 12 hours, how big was that muskie?
54.
That is crazy. 54 inch muskie on your first one.
Ruined for life. I'll never catch a bigger one. I mean, maybe if I go to like Lake of the Woods or Eagle Lake right. up in Canada.
But that gives you something to drive for though.
It does. It does. But at the same time, it's, I don't know. I caught a few big ones, you know, in the last year and this year. And it's just, it's tough because it's like, it gets in the boat and obviously I'll always have that adrenaline and that drive to catch them. But it's like, I know it's not going to be.
You've already set the pinnacle. Yeah, you got that top fish. That is tough to keep wanting to go after that. But that is a crazy story that of that little bit of time. And I mean, would you call it luck or?
Oh, 100%, 100% luck. I've fished that lake so many times since that fish, and I've gotten one follow.
Mm.
And the DNR shocked it last year, and they're like, yeah, "It's an okay musky lake. There's not many in here, but there's a few big ones."
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest one they shocked last year was like 49 and a half or 50, but they're like, there's not many.
Hmm.
And they said they're all on the big lake, and I caught that one on the little lake. So it pure luck,
right? So how'd everything else go after that? So you had to try to take a picture by yourself.
That part I had planned up.
Okay.
Because
I go like just video.
Okay. Video and screenshots.
Great way to do it. Yeah,
because I fish by myself a lot, and so I've always taken pictures on video and just taken screenshots off of them.
Okay.
But the release was perfect. If I would have done that now, I would have thought, oh, that fish is going to go belly up as soon as I put it in the water. But
right.
I set it in the water and held it for a minute, and it kicked off hard and dove down. And I went up the next week and two and paddled around the whole shoreline in that bay and didn't find a dead fish. So
that's cool.
I'm guessing it lived.
There you go. That's a crazy story. I when I heard that, I was just like, that's nuts that you're, and the first thought I had is that you're muskie fishing for yourself. Cause I mean, it's a 50 inch muskie. That's the grand poobah right there.
There's it is.
Really nothing more above that, but
yeah. But if you've seen where I've come from, just gear wise from then since.
So how did that change? So you obviously went from being, I mean, a two lure musky angler with a bass rod just to try it out to see how it goes. Kind of give yourself, you know, if I'm going to like it or not, to what's musky like fishing muskies with Mitch now?
I got too much tackle. I mean, it's the musky community has a hold on me.
Right.
If I see a new bait come out, I'm getting three of them in different colors, different sizes. I got a big Lakewood box, the biggest one they make, and I can't fit another lure in there.
Wow. What color was your lure that you caught it on?
It was a Fire Tiger.
Fire Tiger, of course. Fair.
For the full version of this podcast, check out Fix TV. And remember, follow me on the talk at Smile and Fish and everywhere else at Matt Snell.